I speak this morning in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. I'm looking out here and I'm thinking, wow, that's one of the nice things about summer. You can always get a seat in the back. I'm going to talk loud, so you're not avoiding anything. But I wanted to share with you a true story that I got from a guy who worked in the service department of a big Canadian appliance company. And one day, the department got a letter from a farmer in Saskatchewan. Now, here's some Canadian geography for you. If you go to North Dakota and hang a right, you'll end up in Saskatchewan. It's flat. In Saskatchewan, when you buy a car, steering wheels are optional. Every road is perfectly straight and all you can see is wheat. And it breeds a kind of a self-sufficient sort of person. This farmer from Saskatchewan had bought one of this company's washing machines in the 1930s. And when he bought it, he knew that the gears on the inside would be the first things to wear out. So what he did was take the whole washing machine apart, pull out those gears, and he made precise wooden patterns of those parts. Then he put everything together again and started washing his clothes. Sure enough, after a few years of almost constant use, the gears wore out. No problem. The man used his wooden patterns to machine precise, perfect new gears. Then he put the nice new gears he'd made out of cold-rolled steel into his washing machine and ran it better than ever. The farmer from Saskatchewan did this once every 5 or 6 years for 60 years. But his wooden patterns were starting to get a little worn, and they weren't as accurate as they used to be. So he wrote the service department not to complain. He loved his washing machine. He wrote to see if he could please buy some new parts so he could use them to make new patterns and keep the machine going for another 60 years. Now, the service department guy had to write back and say that that model of washing machine hadn't even been made since 1954. And he didn't think he could get parts. But he was so intrigued by all this, he made it his personal quest to find those gears. And eventually he did. They were gathering dust way in the back of a forgotten warehouse. He packed them up, sent them off free of charge to the farmer, who of course wrote a very polite thank you note. And as far as I know, that washing machine is still running today. And this morning, Paul is with us as we continue reading through his magnificent letter to the Romans. It's our summer project. And Paul is here to tell us something surprising. Paul is here to tell us God is a farmer from Saskatchewan. He's here to tell us God is not in the business of abandoning things when they are broken. God is not in the business of giving up on things when they got worn. God is not in the business of pitching things into the trash when they don't perform to standards. God is in the business of renewing things, purifying things, restoring things, bringing things back to life, making them better. God's a farmer from Saskatchewan. Now, I want to just take a second and in parentheses talk a little bit about our gospel reading this morning, because I know when we hear that gospel reading, we all start wondering, you know, the weeds and the wheat, and we look inside ourselves because we're all very pious and introspective, and we wonder, am I weed or am I wheat? And the answer for every single one of us is yes, because we're all both. And that parable is not so much about God picking some people and leaving other people behind. That parable is about purification. And you might not like it, there might be moaning and groaning and gnashing of teeth, but God is working on me and he's working on you and he's burning away our weeds right now. God doesn't give up. God doesn't abandon. God doesn't pitch out. God purifies. God rebuilds. God renews. God remakes. God brings things back to life. And this applies to us as followers of Jesus. But this morning, Paul also really, really wants us to know, and this can be a little bit hard for us to get our arms around, but Paul wants us to know it. This doesn't just apply to us, to you and me who've decided to follow Jesus. Paul wants us to know that this applies, this renewal, this rebuilding, this offer of new life, it applies to the whole creation. The whole thing. Not just us. It starts with us. And it's about us. But it's not just about us. We're the first steps in something really, really big. We're the first steps in a process of renewal that embraces all of creation. The creation God made and makes and loves. Think about how you feel about something you've made. Think about something really good that you once made. Multiply that by about, a million. And you've got a little bit of the feeling that God feels about you and me and the world that he made. God's plan is to renew and restore the whole creation that he made and loves. And this unlocks a little bit of Paul. This is what Paul means in that mystifying and very, very long sentence. This is the one I mean. This is what Paul means when he says, "The whole creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God, for the creation was subjected to futility." There's hope. There's hope that the creation will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The whole creation has been groaning in labor pains till now. Sometimes when I sit outside late at night on a really quiet night, I think I can hear creation groaning for God. Paul's saying the gift that God offers us, the new life, the renewal, that's for everything. We're part of something really, really big. The renewal, the new life that God offers to you and to me is also his intention for the whole creation. God's a farmer from Saskatchewan. God's not in the business of abandoning things. Not us, not me, not you, not the creation he loves so dearly. And that's a lot of theology for early on a Sunday morning in the summer. That's Paul and that's Romans. Why is this important? I mean, besides the fact that it's wonderful and awesome and biblical. Well, it's important for a couple of reasons. It's important because we live in a throw-it-away culture. We live in a use-it-and-abandon-it culture. We're so different from that Saskatchewan farmer now. I've had my laptop computer for about 4 years, and my children are absolutely aghast that I've still got it. "Daddy, that is so old, it's obsolete. You need a new one. Chuck it. Get a new one." What? I expected this to last me at least 25 years. We live in a use it and let it go culture. And this attitude can even creep into our spirituality and our thinking about God and how we think about creation and how we think about other people. If God doesn't give up on you, that means, that tells me, I shouldn't give up on you either, no matter who you are. And I shouldn't give up on the people that our culture tells us aren't worth much, because God's not given up on them. And it changes the way we interact with creation. Creation's not just here for us to use and pitch. Creation's here for us to tend and care for and leave better than we found it, not worse, because God's working with it still. He's not abandoning it. He's renewing it. This is important. This is important because it changes the way also we think about not just how we treat each other and how we treat the world. This changes the way we think about God. And I think we're at a point in our lives as a culture when that's really important. Because we tend to think of God out there in the popular estimation of things. We tend to think of God as someone who whisks off all the nice people and takes them far, far away to a shiny new place called heaven that's way better than this. Smells nicer, too. And abandoning everything else to its fate. Maybe a fiery apocalypse, or maybe a slow, cold death. This seems to be the image of God that's rampant in our culture. A harshly judgmental God who abandons things. A God who rejects things. A God who throws things away. But that is not the God that Paul is talking about. Or Isaiah is talking about, or Ezekiel is talking about, or John of Patmos is talking about, or Jesus is talking about, or Peter is talking about. God is not in the throw it away business. He's in the renewal business. He's making something new. Isaiah calls it a holy mountain where heaven and earth are reunited again the way they're supposed to be. And it's going to be so wonderful that even lions will lie down with lambs and it'll all be okay. John of Patmos, in his glorious vision, sees a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven so that God and his people can live together again the way it's supposed to be. It's an image of reunion. It's an image of recreation. And our choice is whether we want to be part of that. And I do. I think so do you. Well, I'm about the limit of what I can use words to describe here. Clearly this all-embracing renewal that includes everything is hard to put into words. Clearly it's a whole lot more than, say, Corpus Christi, but with better roads. And when I run out of words, good Episcopalian that I am, when I run out of words, the thing that bubbles up first for me is the prayer book. And there's a beautiful prayer from Holy Week that says best what I'm trying haltingly to say today, and Paul wants to teach us. The prayer goes like this. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery. By the effectual working of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. Let the whole world see and know that things which were being cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are being brought to their perfection by him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Say it with me. Amen. Paul's here to remind us of this. Things which were cast down are being raised up, because God never gives up on anything. Things which had grown old are being made new, because God never throws away. And all things are being brought to their perfection. Paul's here to remind us of this, because sometimes we forget. And our crazy, mixed up, throw it away world, it needs to hear this. And we're the ones whose job it is to tell them. God doesn't abandon things or throw them away. God is a God who remakes, rebuilds, reunifies, restores, renews. You and me and the creation he loves. Surprisingly enough, God is a farmer from Saskatchewan. In Jesus' name, amen.